that in many ways they got what they ordered.
Oh, what? Wait, what? This is the news according to me. Oh, it's, is it Monday? It's already Monday. That music is really loud. It's too loud. Turn the music down a little bit. Please. Hey. Yeah. That's better. It is Monday morning, March 14th. Already March is halfway over. This year is basically done. It's, I don't even know how many more months there are left, but it's we might as well just say put up the Christmas tree and be done, be ready for New Year's Eve. It is flying by for me. I don't understand. I didn't get a show in over the weekend because I went to sleep and I woke up and the weekend was over. I was down in Little Rock over the weekend and I went down there Saturday morning, bright and early. And was there until Sunday morning. I left Sunday morning early, bright and early. And then came back home. But I had to go down there to show people what was in my cup. What was in, and of course, that's what everybody wants to know. And what's in my cup today, I have the Chesed cup today. The Chesed, loving kindness cup. And it's my little cup. I found some apple cider. Apparently my wife bought me some apple cider. And of course she buys this stuff and she puts it in the other refrigerator that's out in the garage. I don't always look out there. Sometimes I don't look out there. And I was only home for about a day. I never even look in there. So I happened to look in there yesterday when I got home and there was this apple cider. I don't know how long it's been in there. I didn't even look at the date on it. This could be a little fermented by now, but I don't, it's good. Late season apple cider typically is a little darker. This is very late season. This is kind of dark apple cider, but it's very smooth. It's very good. And it's, so I mixed it with a can of V8 Fusion peach mango energy drink. So my cup is about half full of that and the rest of it's apple cider. I have to say, it is pretty good. It has a bit of a sweet, tart kind of taste to it. It's very refreshing, but it's not overly tasting anything. It's just like has this kind of fruity mix, just sweet enough. Unfortunately, it's probably going to cause me. I just started drinking it, and it's probably going to have me on a sugar high here any second now. I'll probably be freaking out, talking really fast. You know how I do sometimes. Sometimes I talk a little too fast, sometimes. Once in a while. Not always. Sometimes. So there's a lot of things on my docket, I think it's called. I didn't realize I had a docket, but apparently I have a docket. I'm not sure what that is. I'm not even sure how to spell it. But apparently I have one. This morning, a lot of things to talk about, a lot of really crazy, goofy things going on in the world. One of the things that keeps coming up in my head, and I want to ask this again. Two things that, you know, I have kind of vowed to not let it go without the whole election thing that happened last 2020. And we keep hearing these little trickling reports coming out. I guess in Wisconsin they found, Texas found 10,000 ballots that had not been counted. Wisconsin now has had some kind of big investigation, and I guess people are actually like major players in the election board are, you know, bad things are happening with them. They're kind of trying to clean house a little bit. Now we find out that I think it was in Michigan, I believe. Somebody now has been arrested for ballot tampering. It was a Michigan election official has been charged with ballot tampering. I don't know how many cases, if it was just one ballot. one ballot that they counted the wrong Chad on. Well, they don't have Chads up there. They have these electronic gizmos. So what happened there? Did they, you know, did they do something weird there? So anyway, I haven't looked in. I haven't even looked at the thing. All I've seen was the headlines. I kind of briefly looked over the headlines this morning and looked. I listened to a few YouTube commentators, which is where I typically get most of my. I get a broad, diversified bunch of people. I actually do listen to MSNBC and CNN occasionally because I want to know what they're really saying over there. Their headlines tend to be a little bit bombastic and a little bit verbose. Kind of what they try to do is they try to be a little bit, you know, sensationalized, because in the process of doing that, they typically can get more clicks. It's all about the clicks. Now it's funny how CNN and MSNBC can, or you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, any of those news organizations, they can put whatever they want to on YouTube and it never gets banned or censored or anything because they're legitimate. They're a legitimate news organization. But if you play one of their videos or just talk about the content in one of their posted videos, you get marked. You get caution. This may not be factual. This may be conspiracy theory stuff. Whatever. They'll ban you even. So I've heard some people have their videos taken down. They've had, not for copyright infringement, just for content. And the content was basically something that one of these legacy, credible news organizations put up there. This is happening like on a regular basis now. Most of the commentators that I listen to will say, they'll have to talk in code. They can say the C-19 or the CV-19, or they'll try to, you know, they try to get around the skirting the word recognition issues by, you know, instead of saying they'll use, like, instead of saying Antifa, they will say the Antifa or foe, NTF. They'll have to come up with, you know, eight different ways of saying it so they don't get flagged or triggered. This is convenient for the government because these people happen to be on the side of the government. I think that which should raise some questions for you. If our government was founded on free speech and all these other things, and then they all of a sudden start leaning on side organizations, para organizations, these private companies that have the right to censor you because they're private companies, who are doing the bidding of a particular regime. It's a workaround for silencing your speech. Well, we can't do anything. You have the right to, you know, say whatever you want to in your own home, in the privacy of your own home with your windows shut, with no, you know, phone lines connected. But you can't, in fact, if it gets too loud, if we find out about it, then we can punish you. But if you don't have, if you get online or you go out and you talk to anybody else about it, you get on the phone line or you do anything, but then we have to silence you. We have to socially punish you. It's not us. It's the phone company. It's the internet provider. It's the banking system, whatever. You know, it's those people. It's not us. The government's not going to get involved in that because you made a private deal with these people, signed up on their platform, and they can do whatever they want with your content. Yeah, because that's the American way. Yeah. And they can't be sued, by the way. Recently, I believe it was Tucker, I think, who made this. I can't remember who it was that made this observation. I believe it was Tucker. He played a clip of Elizabeth. Elizabeth Warren. I'm not sure if this apple cider is making my mouth contract a little bit or something. I need to do some exercises. Stretch out my jaw or something, or just, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of weird. The rain in Spain is mainly on the plain. There we go. Oh, that got me all fixed up. So I have, she has this, I was going to play the clip, but I don't have time to get all ready. See, she does this thing where she's going after It was a banking company of some kind. Blackwater. I think it was Blackwater or whatever it is. BlackRock. BlackRock. Not Blackwater. BlackRock, which is this finance company. They're huge. They own half the country, basically. And they're buying more and more of it every day. She's going at, it's like getting really mean with this lady. And the lady's kind of looking at her like, why are you so mean to me? Like, I'm just telling you, she's giving her straight answers. And Elizabeth Warren is going after her like, we need oversight. We need oversight. And Tucker makes the point of all these companies that they get oversight of, all of a sudden are too big to fail. The government gets involved. And what they do is they find these big companies like Otto. Oh, actually, this might have been on Steven Crowder. Now that I think about it, this might have been Crowder. Because they were making comments afterwards. So the automotive industries are too big to fail. The banks are too big to fail. Of course, they all have oversight, right? They all have government oversight. And all of a sudden, the taxpayers bail them out anytime that they have a problem. Well, they have to because the oversight was supposed to protect them and protect us from any kind of problems. But then when they have problems, we have to bail them out. But they are beholden now to these politicians, the people in power. They have to play their game to stay alive, to stay in business, to stay the size that they are. It's kind of like when recently a friend of mine, I haven't spoken to him for years, but he was a business client of mine back when I used to have a business that he did business with me. He owned a car lot here in the local town here. Now, I haven't heard anything about this on the news at all. I've only heard about it through people that I know, which is really sad. He's got to be in his 70s, at least. This guy walked into his car dealership and told him that he was with a gang and that he offered him protection, but he had to pay them so much a month for protection. He said, no, I don't play that game. I'm not going to do that. Guy was all upset with him. Ended up leaving. Some time later, guy comes back in, wants to test drive a car. He didn't feel real good about it, but the guy didn't have a license, driver's license, and didn't have his any kind of insurance, didn't have any kind of ID. So, he was going to have to go with him to test drive this car. In the process of doing all this, a fight broke out in the car, surprisingly. I think he was trying to rob him, basically, as they were driving down the road. Well, the car ended up crashing. In the process of the car crashing, and this was a firsthand account that I heard secondhandedly. There was actually somebody that we know told us the story who happened to be there at the scene. They thought it was a car accident. And when they got out to help the people, they realized this man, I didn't want to call him an animal because it's derogatory to animals, but this monster gets out of the car, pulls him out of the car, and continues to beat him, and cuts him pretty badly with a knife. He was in the hospital for quite some time, I think over a week, the way I understood it. And he ended up passing away. Now, I don't know if they've ever caught this guy. I don't know what's happening with this guy at all. This car dealer is one of the honest car dealers in town. I wouldn't have thought twice about buying a car from the guy. If he would have told me anything about the car, I would have bought it from him. His prices were fair and his cars were good and he always treated people well, as far as I know. I never heard a bad story about the guy, which is just, that's unusual in the used car business. And the guy was in business for years and years, which tells you something about him. I've got a classmate, same thing. He's been in business as a used car dealer for years, at least 20 years, 30 years probably. and is doing very well, is solid in his business, and I never even hear any advertisements on the radio. Because they just have a good word of mouth. They have a good reputation. This is unusual for used car dealers, by the way. And that was this guy. You know, he's been an honest man all of his life. He's done his best to take care of people and be an honest salesperson and try to give people a good product. And it's one of those people that it's one of those deals where if I don't know what would happen if I would come, you know, find this guy that did this, and I would not have very good feelings toward the guy. I have to admit, I'd have to be very careful about my feelings at the moment. But I digress. Let's go back to the point at hand, and the point is that the government does this kind of thing where they come in and they basically say, "Well, we're going to give you oversight." Oh, great. That's, oversight's great. Yeah. Okay. So the government's going to be in play here with me. They're going to play ball with me here. And you find out that oversight means something else. It means that they're going to, basically they want payola. They want to give you protection, offer you protection. But, you know, as long as you can continue to donate to my campaign, we'll make sure that these regulations and rules stay favorable to you, you know, so Guido doesn't have to come pay you a visit. We'll make sure that these agencies, these alphabet soup agencies here that run the show, you know, like the EPA and the DOT, all those companies that can come in there and do inspections of your plant, we'll make sure that all stays in line. These rules and regulations, some of them won't even apply to you. You keep greasing the wheels over here. Keep that money flowing. Keep those donations coming. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you'd be sad if you fell to a little accident, you know, and you broke your legs. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff we got going on. So then we have, here's the question that keeps looming in my head. This is a random thought, squirrel. Has Biden ever had COVID? Has anybody ever asked? Has anybody in a press conference? I'd like to see Ducey just say, has Joe Biden ever had COVID? Has he ever tested positive for COVID? And see what they say. If they say no, I would say liar right to their face. There's no way that Joe Biden has gone through life in this entire COVID thing over the last 2 years and not had COVID. Seriously. Oh, he's vaccinated. Yeah, so is everybody else. And in fact, there's a new report out. And the reason this comes up all the time is because I see the guy and I see him talking. He's always wearing his, not hardly ever wears his mask anymore, but he'll wear it like in these big moments when he puts it on. Putting on my mask, or he waves it around in front of you. Waves this crappy biohazard mask in front of you, waves it at everybody and says, you need to wear one of these. If we had just worn masks, we could have saved thousands of lives. That's always like what they like to say that. We have to have a mask mandate. We would have saved thousands of lives. There's no science there. Nothing. It's all, well, we believe in the science, but there's no science on the masks. Oh, now we find out that cloth masks actually don't help at all. Now, I do see people wearing N95 masks more now, which I don't trust because most of them come from China. And I'm not so sure that all of them are certified. Because there were three batches. And when we're talking batches of manufacturing batches, we're talking in the hundreds of thousands of masks that were found to have been being distributed to hospitals that were counterfeits. They were not certified. They did not come from a certified factory. Whether or not they were good enough or not, I don't know. The problem was they didn't have certification to be manufactured. There was no quality control. and they got out there. Did you hear about that? Probably not. That was nowhere around. What big news media did you hear that from? Oh, we're too busy going after Trump. We can't talk about that. We can't talk about the adverse effects of the vaccine now. You see, Pfizer was recently required to drop a bunch of, like, 30,000 pages of documents. They were trying to get 70 years to release the documents that they had. Well, it just takes too long to go through everything and redact everything. Really? Because somehow you went through everything and approved everything in record time. So the words, did anybody ever read any of those documents you created? It took you time to create the documents. You created those in record time. Why can't you redact them in record time? This makes absolutely no sense. So they released the first 30,000. I think they're supposed to release 10,000 a month or something whatever it is. This judge has required them to release these documents on schedule, I think within 2 years or within a year or something like that. Well, these papers, and you would think, and they were given no particular order in which they had to release these papers, by the way. So they can release, they can keep the really bad stuff till later. But the first papers that they released, I bumped the microphone. I'm waving my arms around and getting all upset. Not really. I don't get upset. I sound upset because that's part of my shtick. So I have this, I don't even know what a shtick, I don't know how to spell shtick. I'm not sure how you spell that. But the Pfizer, these papers recorded. Now, when we say adverse effects, this is serious adverse effects. In other words, something that you, like, if not just, most people get the shot. Yeah, I had a sore arm. I had a headache for a while or whatever happened. They had some, whatever happens to them. Nothing that they would go to the doctor for. And these are reports just from the Pfizer papers. And it was 158,000 adverse effects. In other words, people actually needed help. And they were long-lasting effects, like stuff that was bad. 42,000 case reports. Now, these are the case reports, as I understand it, when they say, now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist or a virologist. I'm not a financial counselor. I am not a brain surgeon or a psychologist. At least not today. And I have, so these are just my opinions and stuff that I've read from reports that are supposedly certified. I don't know. I don't have any documentation. I'm just, making this stuff up as I go. So we have this documents, this stuff out there, these papers, and they say that there's 42,000 case reports. Now, that means those are ongoing cases. In other words, these are people who are now, they are receiving medical attention ongoing after the shot. So those were like serious cases that they needed hospitalization for, is the way I understand it. And they have ongoing issues. 1,200 people died in the first, this is all these reports, these papers that were released, this is all within the first 3 months of the vaccination being put out. In the first 3 months. That's 400 people a month dying from the shot. Did you hear about that on the news, by the way? Was there a little ticket counter or ticker counter down there at the bottom of the screen giving you that information? All we saw was basically a timer down at the bottom where they were saying, this is the death. They just kept going up. Bodies kept piling up because Trump was president. We had Kamala Harris and all these other people saying they weren't going to take the shot. If Donald Trump tells me to take the shot, I'm not going to take the shot. So I guess if Joe Biden tells you to take the shot, you're supposed to take the shot now. See, they diminished their own credibility by saying, if a president tells you to take the shot, you shouldn't take the shot. But if our president tells you, if this president tells you to take the shot, you should take the shot. Next thing you know, the president's telling you to take the shot. Now, one of the biggest problems, and I've noticed, there are some occupations where you can be seriously injured and still go about your day and not really have a problem. But the problem is there are some occupations with this, with the shot thing, and I've known personally of some of these cases, where you get the shot and you have a problem, and guess what? Now you cannot get a DOT medical or a first-class medical, aviation medical, or a clean bill of health to go back to work. And we're not talking about that. Well, the risks outweigh the reward, or the risks, yeah, the risks, the reward outweighs the risk, or whatever it is. The risks aren't, don't justify, and they're all concerned about vaccination hesitancy, because there are people who are hesitant to take the vaccine, and they don't want to increase that. So they are so, rather than just giving people the facts and letting them decide on their own, we have to quash that. Let's not give anybody the, let's just tell them one side of the story. Let's continue to say, and I've played the clips on this show many times of director of the CDC and everybody and the whatever else, the FDA and all the other people that got involved in this thing, saying how effective, in fact, Anthony Fauci, the vaccines are very, very effective against the variants. Very, very, very effective against the variants. Well, that's not quite so true either now, is it? We found that out to be not true. Well, at least most people have. If you've been paying attention at all, there was two recent studies now. There was one study that came out peer-reviewed, completely peer-reviewed, and of course you can't talk about it on regular social media. A second one now has come out, and they both say the same thing. In fact, this one, the one latest one, maybe I can pull this up real quickly. Well, that's not what I wanted to click on. Let's see here. Every time I click on something, it does something weird. Okay. We're going to look here at the, I think it was in this actual, it was in my email. I had an email and thing came across that was a headline. But let's look here. I think it was on Reliable News Now. We'll test this out and see what it says here. It was, nope, it's not there. It's all about the, this is all about the, all about the war. That's been pretty convenient. The war now has kind of overshadowed all the other stuff about the border, COVID, the inflation rate, gas prices. I paid $74, most I've ever paid to fill up my car, ever. This particular car. I had a truck that used to cost me like $100 to fill up. Now, the last time we saw gas prices rise to this level, in fact, the record that this, of course, we're breaking records right now for the gas prices. Last time we had, in the records that were broke, guess who was in charge? Guess who the president was, and guess what stage of the presidency it was? It was about a half a year into his presidency. Well, it's about, it was about September, October, something like that, of President Obama's presidency. And we're hearing all the same talking points. And in fact, he was pretty proud of himself. He kept saying, well, you know, this is, if the gas prices get up there, then we can justify alternative energy. No, we just need to start looking at alternative energy. So we don't have to be beholden to these things. May I remind you? Now they're coming out and telling us oil production's never been higher than it's the highest it's ever been. Well, that's weird because consumption's not as high as it's ever been. We're still tens of millions of barrels lower than we were. And at the time of before COVID. What changed here, folks? Oh, we have 9,000 permits for people to drill. They could be drilling right now, producing. I'm like, you don't just, I'm just get out my hand drill here, go out and drill for oil. You don't do that. These are all permits saying that they have the right to those areas to explore for oil. They don't even know if there's oil there. They're oil exploration permits. They have the mineral rights or whatever. So they come up with a number like, well, I have 9,000, but they could be out drilling right now if they wanted to. Just the lies these people tell, the disingenuous, fabricated crap these people put out, it's something that just aggravates me to no end. And I've heard a lot of messages from pastors lately. And I'll take it with a grain of salt. I'll accept the idea that, yes, we should rise above this stuff and not pay attention to the rhetoric and not get involved in the news and not let the news upset us. We shouldn't be listening to the news. We should be listening to God. All right. Well, if that's the case, that's kind of like my friends who say we shouldn't vote. My opinion. Well, the church shouldn't get involved in politics, and we shouldn't even vote. Really? So if everybody in the country is a believer and they don't vote, but there's one guy who is evil as evil can be, and he votes for himself, and he wins. How's that going to work out for you? Well, that's an extreme case, so that's not going to happen. What? How are you going to stop it if you're not voting? It's the one little voice you have, basically. I mean, you can rant and call your representatives all day long. If they've got the thing locked up and they know they're going to win the election, they don't care. You want to talk about how Russia has done it? You think everybody in Russia just approves of everything Putin does? They think he's a great guy? They know full well of the corruption that's going on in their government. It's amazing how he wins with 80% of the vote every time. Historic elections. Historic number of voters every time. They all vote millions more for him than the other guy. And the other guy just kind of dies. I don't know, for some reason, just kind of, oops, he just died. Oops. So we have so we have that going on. Got a body count now from Ukrainian soldiers, apparently. They're taking a beating. However, they're claiming they've killed a lot more Russian soldiers. Who knows? There again, we've got two very corrupt places. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about. So we have this ridiculous. I don't know if I have a clip of this or not. I don't think I do. Let's see if I can find this. Nancy Pelosi. Inflation. They're all denying now that the inflation has anything to do with government spending. Let's see if this is Sky News Australia. Let's see if it's actually here. I think they probably make a lot of comments, so we'll have to kind of figure this is a Biden Pelosi pushback after inflation. Well, this is Sky News Australia. It's a 3-minute long clip. Let's see what they actually say here because.
Let me just talk about the inflation thing because people are saying, well, what we're spending is causing inflation. The fact that people have jobs always contributes to increase in inflation, and that's a good thing. But inflation is not a good, you know, we have to contain
it. Wages are not keeping up with prices.
That's right. And let me just say about what Congress has been doing. When we did the Competes Act last week, what contributes to inflation? More people having jobs, scarcity of product, which makes prices go up, and the rest. So when we passed the Competes Act last Friday, this was a giant step forward. Now we have to go to conference with the Senate, and we will shortly, and we'll send it to the president's desk. But what that does is address the supply chain shortages that we have, and therefore will decrease inflation.
That was House Speaker Nancy.
Now, we have this inept, absolutely insane woman as the Speaker of the House right now. And I say that with all due respect. This woman has no clue. Now, she also, this isn't the clip I was hoping to, this is actually said back on February 13th or February 12th, I think she said this, of this year. And we were told, this is back when we were being told that inflation was going to be transitory. It's just going to be a blip. It's going to pop up a little bit and come right back down. That's what Joe Biden told us that. It's going to be transitory. This is just transitory inflation. It's going to pop up a little bit and come back down. Yeah. Well, it hasn't happened yet, has it? It just keeps going up. Price of gas keeps going up. And now all of a sudden, when Biden is asked about, what are you going to do to get the fuel prices down? Talk to Putin about that. It's Putin. You know, you need to talk to Putin. But it's Putin's fault. What about inflation? It's Putin's fault. Everything's Putin's fault right now. Last 3 weeks, everything's been Putin's fault. And Ducey even confronted him about that and said, so now everything's going to be Putin's fault? Well, yeah, it's going to be Putin's fault. That's what they say. We're supposed to just believe that. Couldn't possibly be the fact that we have more government spending. Nancy Pelosi even said, increased government spending reduces the debt. This is the insanity of these people. Increased government spending reduces the debt. How does this woman get out of bed and walk around in the morning? How does she even find her way to the Capitol Hill? I don't know. This woman is a zombie with no brain. There's no way you can say that in all honesty. She has to know the basic principles of inflationary government spending issues, the correlation and the relationship between those two things. You can't physically print more money and print your way out of debt here. You can monetize the debt. You can print. I guess they could do that. Here is the problem with that. You can monetize the debt by printing more money and getting rid of the debt. The problem is that is inflation. They're making your dollar worth less. And it's not just the supply chain issue. Well, you know, when the supply is down, we have to, you know, we have to make sure there's, because that's what makes prices go up when the supply is down. Well, supply wasn't down a year and a half ago. We had an economy that was roaring back. The only shortage we had was in lumber. Now, I have to tell you this, and they haven't figured this out. I've known this since 1982. Actually, since the 70s. Late 70s, I discovered this. Our country runs on oil. We have an oil-based economy. If the price of oil goes up, everything goes up. Tires are made from oil. All the petroleum products that we have, petroleum-based products, if those prices go up, everything goes up. If transportation costs go up, which they are, have you seen the price of diesel fuel lately and what truckers are paying for their fuel? That is going to make every mile that a product has to travel higher. The price is going to be higher to transport it, which it turns out to be put into the price of the product. They're not going to just eat that. They have a certain profit margin they have to survive to keep the payroll going and to pay all their taxes. And by the way, a lot of times when they talk about profits of some of these companies, that's pre-tax profits. They don't tell you what their after-tax profits are. It's kind of like when you go to apply for a job and they say, yes, you'll make $225,000 a year. Well, that sounds pretty good. And by the way, you'll pay $75,000 a year in taxes. Oh. And the cost of living here is five times higher than it is anywhere else where you're living now. Oh. So basically, if I'm making $50,000 here, living here, making $50,000, I'm actually going to be better off because it costs me way less to live here than it does to live there. And my taxes aren't as high. So I think maybe I'll just stay here. We actually had to make that decision a while back. We were looking at, my wife was being interviewed on the East Coast for a particular job. And she ended up going to the interview, but when we started doing the math, and her wage increase was huge. Started looking at the price of cost of living there compared to here. And the property tax levels out there. And everything else involved in just living out there. We would not have been better off. Now, whether or not the job would have been a better job or you know, those are some of the quality of life issues you have to decide on. Career path issues, that kind of thing. And I, you know, I could pretty much live anywhere and do my job because I don't really have a job. So that pretty much, that spells it out right there. I just do stuff. And this is the kind of people we have running the show here. Like I said, peeing on our face and telling us it's raining. Now, let's see. There's another clip here, I think, of Nancy. Let's see what else she has to say here. This is interesting. Let's see what else she has to say here.
More people entering the workforce, and that's
not her. More people are entering the workforce. More people. There's more jobs now. That contributes to inflation. Okay, Nancy. That's great. That sounds great. And she kept saying that during this whole thing. Now, I'm going to go back here for a second. That's Sky News. So this is the Biden Pelosi thing. I'm going to see if I can find the clip here. I think it's on the. This is Maria Bartiromo. Pretty sure that she has this. She has this clip here of Nancy saying this ridiculous, unbelievable stuff that she just recently said about. Here's Joe. This is Joe. Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
I'm sick of this stuff. We have to talk about it because the American people think the reason for inflation is government spending more money. Simply not true.
When we're having this discussion, it's important to dispel some of those who say, well, it's the government spending. No, it isn't. The government spending is doing the exact reverse, reducing the national debt. It is not inflationary.
Oh, my gosh.
So government debt is reducing. Government spending is reducing national debt. It's not inflationary. This kind of mentality, telling us one thing and fully well knowing it's something else, it makes me nervous. Not so much anymore. Whenever Joe Biden says something, just assume the opposite is true. If you happen to watch the train wreck of Kamala Harris talking with, is it Duda? I think President Duda Poland. A friend in need is a friend indeed. She says this thing is supposed to be a joke, and some people kind of laughed a little bit, which had no kind of answer to the question that was asked about taking in refugees. And then she continued to, when you're still laughing at your joke and everyone else has stopped laughing at your joke, it's not a good sign. That means the joke didn't go over well. You need to have a little, you know, just because you keep laughing doesn't make it more funny. Doesn't increase the funny rate. The funny meter does not continue to stay up there. And that's what we have here. We have this absolutely inept. And you know when she's making stuff up, and she's way over her skis here because her elbows start flapping like a chicken. She starts flapping her elbows back and forth, and she has this kind of, and I can hear it in her voice more than anything. I hear this. I can't even imitate it. It's like it's a back of the throat kind of, I'm talking, but I don't know what I'm saying. And let me be very clear. We are 100% alongside of Poland, full stop. And whatever she said, I don't know what it was. Like she's going to make this, she's going to step up to the microphone. She's going to make this big announcement. She's going to make this big, bold statement that's going to scare Putin to death. Makes this really bold statement. Doesn't say anything. And she keeps making these, she likes to say things without actually saying anything. When someone asks her, well, are you going to go to the border? Well, that's a conversation we need to have. Oh, thanks. That's the kind of thing she'll say. She says these little platitude things that are supposed to pacify people and move on to the next subject, not really drill down on anything. This is kind of like when Hunter Biden was being interviewed about his laptop. Well, I don't know if that could have been my laptop. I don't know either it was or it wasn't. I'm not sure if it was my laptop or not. You know, could have been. Russians could have hacked it. I'm not sure what happened there. May or may not have been my laptop. I don't know. That's a non-answer. And of course, they didn't drill down on that at all. Okay, well, let's say it wasn't your laptop. Let's say the Russians did hack it. Did they use deep fakes for pictures to put your picture on there of you doing crack and doing all kinds of illegal activity and basically molesting minors and doing all kinds of hideous things that we can't even talk about on YouTube or will be censored? Was that actually you, or were the emails real, or were they just implanted there, or was that all made up fiction, like the P tapes, for the dossier? Did somebody pay a lawyer to come up with all that information, make up stories about Trump? So what was that? What was it? What was it, Joe, or Hunter? Hunter Joe, the bag man for Joe. Was the information on the laptop, whether it was your laptop or not, who cares? Was the information found on these hard drives true? Is anybody going to ask him that question? Nobody's ever asked him that question. Were those pictures really you doing crack and doing all this stuff? Well, you know, I got a problem. Oh, the poor guy has a problem. Do you think if any of Trump's kids would have had a problem like that? Do you think for a moment that a Trump, let's say Donald Jr. Trump would have been doing drugs, had pictures of him doing crack, and then having business deals with China and Ukraine companies? Do you think that anybody would have said anything? Do you think that information wouldn't have been on MSNBC and CNN 24/7 all day, every day? Well, the president's compromised because his son is doing dealings with these scandalous companies. No reason why he should have those. He doesn't even speak Ukrainian. Doesn't speak Russian. Doesn't speak their language. But he has these high-paying jobs. This is corruption. That's all we would hear about. The president would have been impeached 12 times over that. Not a word. Not a word from the legacy media. This is why they lose credibility with me. So, now, Kevin, don't get upset. Now, this is the kind of stuff that, in my opinion, we are called, at least some of us are, to speak truth to these people, to call them out on their lies. And here's why. And this is why I don't believe we're supposed to be disconnected from this stuff as believers. If you don't understand, if you don't have an understanding of the judgment of God and what's about to befall on these people, then you have no love in your heart for them. Don't tell me you're praying for them, because if you really realized the judgment that is set before them, when they stand before God and he has the final word, it is not going to be good for them. I shake when I see the kind of judgment that is coming upon Hillary Clinton. Some of these politicians, you have no love in your heart if you don't call them out for it, because they need to repent now. Because what they're facing is going to be eternal judgment. You can confess and repent now. When Jesus said, it is better that you fall upon the rock and be broken than to have the rock fall upon you. And that's exactly what he was talking about in that statement. You're better to put your trust in the hands of God. Fall upon him. Make it an act of deliberate act of confession and repentance than to have the rock have to squeeze it out of you later when it falls on you. I don't want to see anything happen to Hillary Clinton. I want to see her repent and confess, to have her heart replaced, her heart of stone replaced with a heart of flesh. Because I really don't want to see her burn in hell. I genuinely do not want to see that. So calling these people out is not an act of anger Well, I'm angry with their sin. I'm angry with what they've done. I'm not judging them eternally. I'm judging their actions because I know what the consequences of their actions are. So for those of you who are pastors out there who have this teaching for some reason that you've come up with that we should stay disengaged from these things, I would have to beg to differ with you, with all due respect. I think that we are called to resist evil and to speak out against it for a very good reason. John the Baptist was beheaded for the political statements he made. And Jesus said there was no greater among men than him. His passion for the truth and for repentance, to see others repent and be baptized and turn away from their selfish deeds, led to his beheading. And I think that's what maybe some pastors are afraid of. Well, we don't want to anger anybody on the left or the right, so we're just going to try to walk this center of the road thing and be very careful about what we say, because we don't want to cut anybody off. We don't want to offend anybody by speaking the truth out there. So we're just going to try to make it palatable for everybody. I'll tell you what, if God's calling you, if that's what God has revealed to you and he's telling you to say that, then go ahead and say it. You're not going to stand before me and have me judge you. I have to stand before God on my own, and you have to stand before God on your own. And you say whatever you're going to say, but I'm telling you, we need to have a little deeper thought than just, let's not offend anybody. I hate to tell you this. I know maybe you think that Jesus went through life and didn't offend anybody. There are plenty of people he offended. So don't think that his spirit living within you is not going to offend someone. Just saying. And don't think for a minute that what happened to him might not possibly, might just be what happens to you as well. They hated me, they might hate you for my name's sake. Just maybe have a breath of possibility there that you might think about that kind of thing, maybe a little bit. Think beyond your that. So has Joe Biden ever had COVID? I would venture to say, yes, he has. We were never told about it because that would have been a sign of weakness and a sign of, you know, vaccine hesitancy. Because we were being told all that time that if you have a vaccine, you won't get COVID. We were told, not that your symptoms would be lessened, that you won't get it and you won't spread it. That's what we were told, folks. There's plenty of video out there, and I've saved a lot of it. These people saying exactly that. Then Joe comes out and says, we can't defund the police. We have to fund the police. That made some people mad. The squad didn't like that at all. Neither did, what's her name from California? So the administration flat out lies about inflation and the blaming of everything on Putin. Kamala is just laughing, making major gaffes along the way. Then they come out and they change her speech. I don't know if you're aware of this. She came out and made something about in defense of the NATO alliance. We're standing with the Ukrainian people in defense of the NATO alliance. And she was supposed to say, and the defense of the NATO alliance. She made it sound like Ukraine was part of the NATO alliance. Well, in the transcripts that they published later, they put the word and in there. That way it wasn't confused, because what she said was actually very provocative. and very stupid because she said the wrong thing. And of course, there was another congresswoman who said we need to kick Russia out of NATO. Russia's not in NATO. That's NATO was put together against Russia. It was to defend against Russia. Then you have Kamala Harris saying this, and I'm just going to play this because it's too good to be true. This is Kamala. I'm going to play this because it's ridiculous, and I'm just going to play it. I'm just going to play it. Here it is. Here it comes. I'm going to push this button.
Our task is to show people that in many ways they got what they ordered. Right?
Right.
They said this is what they wanted.
Woo, yeah, we got what we ordered.
They stood in line. They took time from work. It was
Oops. Yeah, I guess I cut it off there at that point. I didn't get the whole thing. This is what the people ordered. People stood in line and voted for this. They wanted higher inflation. They wanted all this stuff. Can't blame us. This is what they wanted. This is what they asked for. Yeah, sure it is. Yeah, we love this stuff, don't we? Well, they don't like it now. But at least we don't have those mean tweets, do we? If the election were held again today, Biden would not hardly get, he'd probably get about 30% of the vote, which is maybe what he got the first time, but I'm not sure about that. All I'm saying is I still don't believe in him. I'm still not accepting the results. I never will. Too much corruption going on there and ridiculous numbers. The numbers don't add up. There's just all those things that we were looking at initially. Now we're just supposed to, they crammed it down our throat, said, just accept it, get over it. If you say it wasn't a fair election, then you're an insurrectionist and you're a criminal. You're not American. You're un-American. You're an enemy to the state. No, not really. Not exactly. Of course, for 4 years we were told that the Russians hacked our election and that our president wasn't legitimate, and neither was the election, and we were not supposed to listen to that. We're supposed to listen to they told us for 4 years, 5 years, that the election was legitimate. They're still going after the guy. And many people, because they listen to CNN and MSNBC, that's all they listen to. All they think about is all they think is that Trump is still in cahoots with Putin. They even got excuses for why Putin didn't invade Ukraine while Trump was the president. It was because they had a deal going on. They have all these ideas about what happened there. They got inside information, which is absolutely ridiculous. So in the meantime, all this stuff's going on in Ukraine, and we've got all this news over there, which they love, because like I said, the political theater, see, they can now determine what the narrative is, what the news cycle will contain. In the meantime, the border now, my understanding is the border has seen, I think last year was almost 2 million. Almost 2 million encounters. This year so far, there's been over 700,000. This year so far, in 3 months, 700,000. We are breaking records now, even this year. Are you hearing about that on the news at all? No. Not at all. We are over where we were last year at this time. And we're not even into the peak. I guess the peak season is the springtime. So as this, in the next couple of months, we should see even more. And of course, part of the reason people weren't getting in was because they're having travel problems with COVID last year. This year, they're not. Of course, as the restrictions start to drop down, we start to see more of this. So there's the border. There's inflation issues. Inflation is out of control. Like I said, my gas tank, last time I filled it up, cost me more than ever. People aren't going to ignore that. On the left, they actually love high gas prices. And they've always given us the biggest reason we were given, the biggest lie we were told by Obama, was that the reason for higher gas prices is because the economy was so good. Yeah, the economy is so good, the gas prices are going up. As you recall, we had one of the hottest economies at the end of 2020 we've ever had. Or I should say at the beginning of 2020. As we rolled into this whole COVID thing, the economy was ramping up. And we had some of the lowest gas prices we'd seen in years. Under $2 a gallon. May I remind you, that's twice that now. Well, it's because of COVID. It's because of Putin. COVID. It's COVID. It's Putin. First it was COVID. Then it's Putin. Well, it's because the job economy is coming back. That's why that's part of the prices are going back up. It's a supply chain issue. Not my fault. They never take responsibility for anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's when you have leadership that will not do that, that just simply will not take any responsibility for anything. It's always somebody else's fault. Always. Now, once in a while, you can probably call somebody out and say somebody. Now, here's my big concern, and I know I've gone over my hour already. I hate to lay into something that's this complicated. Maybe I'll have to have another show this afternoon because I think I'm going to have a late night show tonight. I have some time, and I probably will have a show tomorrow morning. So maybe I'll talk about it then. If I don't get a chance to do anything tonight, because I have to prepare to travel again tomorrow, I've got to go down to Atlanta tomorrow. But I'm going to be looking at a possibility of doing a show either tonight or tomorrow morning. I'm pretty sure I can get a show in tomorrow morning. So if I don't get one in tonight, it'll be tomorrow morning. I might have both, but I no promises. This is, you know, that's not what this show's about. This show's not about promises. It's about what I think. It's all about me. What's in my cup? So we have this issue coming up. Now, here's my concern. This is just looming in the back of my head because I know how these people think. I know what they accused Trump of. When you start accusing Trump of things, well, Trump's going to do this. Trump's going to do this. He's going to cancel the elections because he's going to start a nuclear war. We have to take the nuclear codes out of his hands because he's going to start a nuclear war to stop the election. This was coming from Nancy Pelosi's mouth. The Speaker of the House was saying she was going to the Joint Chiefs and telling them, we have to take the football away from him because he might start a nuclear war just to get away from this and to stay in office. He can declare an emergency. We can cancel everything. This is the way these people think. Now, so when people start accusing you of things that you would never have thought of, well, it was in their head. This is why they're accusing, because they would do it. This is why this happens. So we hear this kind of stuff, and we have to realize maybe this is what they're thinking about doing. Because it seems to be on their platter, in their MO, in their DNA. So what are they going to do here with this whole Ukraine thing breaking out? As we get closer to November and they start, and they're on fire, folks. The news media is very concerned about poll numbers. They're very concerned about the beating that they're going to take. There are bunches of them going to retire because they know that they don't want, because they can retire and walk away with their war chest. They don't have to spend any money on elections. They've been getting donations the whole time. As soon as they get into office, they start asking for donations. Even my Republican representative here in my area, I won't mention any names, but it rhymes with Jackie Walarski. Interestingly enough, my water softener just kicked in. So we have this representative here. A week after she gets elected, she was a state rep before, and she got elected into the Congress. Please send donations. We have to fight against these people. You get paid, folks. You get paid a nice salary, all kinds of benefits. And you have a vote. How is me giving you campaign money going to help you with your vote? It's all it takes is a push of a button. You just vote. Show up and vote. You get paid to do that. We voted for you already. We voted for you to represent us, not to ask for more money so you can continue to fight. The week after you get elected. Now, I understand money, you know, greases the wheels to get the campaign going. You got to have money to get your advertising out there and promote your platform and all that stuff. I get that. I understand that. But it has become this game of who can spend the most on their campaign, and apparently that makes all the difference. If somebody spends $2 million. But that didn't happen for Beto O'Rourke, did it? Beto was running against Senator Cruz in Texas. Spent more money. Had all kinds of people coming in from out of town. Spending all kinds of money and doing all kinds of advertising. Promotions. He lost. I think now he's running for governor of Texas. That's going to work out really well for him. Sure. Because his name's Beto. Actually, he didn't start using the name Beto until he was running for office. And nobody ever called him Beto. But that's the Latino, the Hispanic, the Spanish slang for Robert. Beto. So all of a sudden he had to do that. So what are they going to do? They realize this is coming up and they're going to get slaughtered. They're going to lose power. They're going to lose the House and the Senate. Now, they can still play their cards right and still win the presidency in 2024. There's no question, because now they can blame everything on the Republicans having the House and the Senate. That's the way they do it. All these bad things that are coming, if they try to straighten things out, they're going to say, oh, they're going to take that. They're going to blame everything that's bad now on the Republicans, because they put themselves in that position because they won the election. Of course, and people's memories are so, you know, they're like 2 weeks old, so they'll forget. Mark Dice had a little interview on the streets of wherever he's at, out in L.A. area. Out there asking people who the vice president was. They had no idea. And he started asking who the vice president of Barack Obama's vice president was. They had no idea. I don't know. And then they were asking who the vice president for Trump was. And nobody knew that either. And he's finding all kinds of people that didn't have any idea who the vice president. In fact, some of them didn't even know who the president was. This is how out of touch some people are. One lady said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about politics. I just moved here from Wisconsin." Oh, they don't have a presidential election in Wisconsin. It's like, well, I don't want to answer because I'll look stupid. He goes, "Well, I think it's too late for that." So the question is, what are they going to pull here? What are they going to pull? Are they going to do something with this war to enact some kind of emergency act? They've already talked about it. As far as I know, they still have the wall up around the Capitol building right now because of the truckers thing. And of course, you haven't heard any more about that because it's pretty ineffective if they don't actually drive into. They basically made a deal that we're just going to drive around all the time. I drive around the Beltway. And of course, they just one thing after another. I could continue to go on. I got plenty of material I can keep on talking about. I got plenty of ranting I can do. It's mostly just therapeutic for me. I just like to get on here and rant. It's good for me. I can go eat my lunch and go about my day. You guys have to deal with it. So, and again, I just want to say, we have this hope. I can talk about all this stuff and not be personally scared. It's scary stuff we're talking about, but I can be without fear, because I know who's going to have the final word in this. There will not be any arguments. When this is done, it will be done. And he will say enough. He will speak the word, and it is so. And that's it. No arguing. No, there's not going to be any of that. And I'm looking forward to that day. Come what may, speak your truth and let it blow me away. Blow away my selfishness. Blow away all the stuff that I know is wrong with me. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to no more arguments. No more lies. Truth will stand on that day, and that's why I have plenty of hope. I'm good. I'm at peace with that. I can trust in that. And I hope you can too. So if you don't, if you're living in fear, I would invite you to seek the Savior, the one who took the punishment for us, the one who has all the answers, the one who will in the end. He came as a lamb the first time. Messiah ben Joseph. He will come as Messiah ben David, waging war on his enemies. I want to be by his side when that happens. That's where I want to be. And hope you are there with me as well. So, God bless everybody. Have a great day. I will talk to you again tonight or tomorrow. One of the two. I will probably be back. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I'll let you know what's in my cup. God bless everybody. Have a great night.